The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
I'm delighted to say Vinnie Perth is with us to look at Ireland last night. Vinnie, how is Stephen Kenny feeling this morning? You know him better than anybody. What's his takeaway from last night?
I think ultimately he's extremely disappointed. I think he's good at. I think he'll definitely take some positives. And he'd be looking at what went wrong, how can he fix it, where's the little bits and pieces that he can fix ahead of a game on Saturday, which is, look, rightly or wrongly, it's probably crucial for him, and I think he'll know that, and he has to fix a couple of small issues around the team. But I think I haven't heard a lot of commentary. I got the back end of Gary earlier on. I think, by and large, it's been So far, I think it's been balanced, which hasn't always been the case around this Irish team. I think that it's been balanced. There's been pros and cons to the performance, and he will see it that way himself. I've heard him discuss the penalty issue, and he's been annoyed about that. And I think he was happy enough with a lot of the stuff that went on. So, stuff to fix, and he'd be busy out how he fixed that this morning.
Yesterday on the show, I was speculating about the possibility of us going three at the back, on the back of a conversation that we'd had ages and ages ago, where you were saying that, like, he would absolutely think about three at the back because that's the type of manager he is. He didn't play three at the back before because we didn't have players. Like, when you guys were there, it wasn't necessarily we can only ever have a back four. It was like, well, we have a back four and we have midfielders to play that way. When he was with Ireland, he may well play three at the back because he has two players who can fit that very well. Were you in any way surprised by the team, the way the formation lined up last night?
No, I watched a little bit on this FEI social media channel. I must let them know. It gave it a little bit away for me. I knew Matt Doherty was going to play ahead of Seamus Coleman, and a little bit of shape they were doing. And I think they were well coached last night in that shape when the opposition had the ball. It was very difficult for Serbia to make good passes into Tadic, and that's what they worked on. It looked like little bits of that I would have picked up on a small video the FEI put out. But I'm not throwing the social media manager and the FEI under the bus there, but it wasn't a shock. And the other thing we would have spoke about was the role of the number 10. So if you look at the two games that really matter, Slovakia and last night, the other stuff in between, the Nations League, look, rightly or wrongly, it doesn't count in my eyes because of everything. But the opposition had Hamašík was for Slovakia. If you remember him, outstanding, everything through him. Last night, Tadic was brilliant. And we have at the moment Alan Brown, who I felt was important to the team. If you remember, I think he's someone who can develop into a real player for Ireland. Maybe there's somebody else there that will come through over the next sort of 16, 18 months. But I think he was important. Now, ironically, I think the first 15 minutes of the game, he was really poor, and that's been missed because overall his performance was really good last night. But so much goes through that type of player. And we're not developing these Tadic's or Hamašík that the other nations are. And until we do, we're going to struggle at the high end to break teams down. But I think the shape of the team suited the players. I think it was, yes, there would have been a lot of video sessions, a lot of coaching going on, but a lot of our players play that type of system in their club. So it wasn't a shock to them. And therefore, even Preston do it. So it suited Malumbi and Brown. They would, even if Brown was playing slightly different positions, sometime at Preston, he plays wing back, believe it or not. He would know from being on the training ground with his managers that, you know, you need to go here, there and everywhere. So I think it suited the players. And I think it proved that we've got a good manager who can tactically make changes. People felt, you know, we've listened to the crap about can he do it at this level, et cetera, et cetera. He only knows one way. Well, I think he's debunked that part of it, to be fair.
Could you talk us through a little bit more the role of Alan Brown then last night? Because is there a suggestion that maybe he isn't even the type of player that Tadic or Hamšík is, that he's even a little bit different despite playing maybe the same role on the team sheet?
Yeah, he is different. And I think we've seen someone like Jeff Hendrick do that role for Ireland, because it's the modern-day number 10. You can have your sort of really skillful guy that you just play through and he doesn't do lots of work. But the modern-day number 10 has to run. When you get all these GPS reports, you'll find that someone like Alan Brown has covered a huge distance for Ireland, Jesse, probably the biggest distance It'd be interesting to see it. I'd say he's probably run more than anyone else on the pitch. So, but at the same time, you've got to be creative and you've got to arrive in the box. And he has that. I'm not comparing up to Frank Lampard, but he has that knack of arriving in the box. We see it with Preston. And again, I don't think Irish fans watch enough of the Championship where so many of our players are being based, but he has that knack of arriving in the box. The header he scored last night was brilliant, but the best part of it was his link-up play. He got it off Doherty, went out the other side and arrives in the box at the right moment. That's very difficult to defend against. And people say we need a goal scorer. We do. It would be great to have a young Robbie Keane. But we need to create the chances for us for Robbie Keane's and Alan Brown to score. So it's more than that. And I think Brown's role in it is crucial going forward. And yes, it would be amazing that if there was a young Tadic-type player on the way through. I just don't see it yet, but we will see. But he is crucial to the team, I feel, for the next sort of 18 months.
I think the very first game that Stephen Kenny managed, one of the themes from that Bulgaria game was about the lack of a holding midfielder, a stopper in front of the back four, the back three, whatever it may be. Is your sense that actually they can get away with having really good ball players like Malumbi and Cullen there, that they can actually offer enough, even in defensively, that you don't need somebody who specialises as the role of a stopper?
Yeah, listen, again, it would be great if we had a world-class Fabinho or something like that. We don't. So I think he learned from that game. They were too open in midfield. Every time the ball turned over, it looked like Ireland was going to concede. And he fixed it. So, like I keep saying, he's not fixed the one system. So he fixed that. And he put two number sixes in, or two defensive midfielders, or whatever people want to use the language. I don't want to be too coachy on it, but the two in midfield give you it gives you a better platform, obviously. And then that does make that role of Alan Brown much more important. So I think we have the players to play with two in midfield. And I think ultimately Cullen is the passer, and Malumbi can run all day long and has got good legs in him. And I think ultimately that's a good balance going forward. The challenge for those two young players is it's gone okay. It's gone quite well for Cullen. Malumbi has to get into the team at Preston. So he's still a bit of a job to do. He's regular enough, to be fair, and a young player. You've got to be patient with him. But because some of our big players have dropped off, like Jeff Hendrick would have been a shoe-in. We lost Conor Hourihan, who's been excellent for Swansea of late. So Robbie Brady has dipped over the last couple of years. So it is time for these young players to be given the chance. The challenge for Ireland is they've got to get into the club team, unfortunately. And we've seen that with Callum Robinson last night. I felt he worked really hard for Ireland. All that. He just lacked that killer instinct, that good pass that was once he broke really brilliantly. And again, it was Alan Brown on an overlap on the right wing. And he just misplaced his pass. And it's them little moments that come with playing regularly. And he lacked that a little bit, I felt, last night. So we've got to get our players playing regularly. And that's the challenge.
The formation is interesting in the context of Matt Doherty, maybe. And he didn't have his best night last night. He isn't having his best season. Is this something you just naturally have to persist with, because chances are, all things being equal, next year Matt Doherty and Seamus Coleman might be Ireland's best players, assuming he comes back to his level and Coleman stays at his level, that this is it now, that this has to be the system that allows them both to be in the team?
I suppose the answer to that, honestly, is yes and no. Like, I don't think we need to be married to one system. The problem with 3-5-2 or 3 at the back is that, and I would have seen it, just to give you an example, with Dundalk, we were brilliant in the fullback areas, Dan Massey, Sean Gannon. So if the team came up against us, play 5-3-2 or anything like that, it was great for us because our fullbacks would overlap and we get 2v1s in the wide areas. So if Ireland comes up against a really top team who are going to have their fullbacks as, you know, playing really high up and overlapping, then we're vulnerable in the wide area. So he may not do that. So we can't be wedded to one system. And I don't think our players are that good that we can stick to that system. We need to adapt to the opposition at times, not always. We have to play to our strengths. So I think that's the key. And I think that's also the key why we've got to trust the manager now. We've got to let him have his head and develop this team, because look at the age profile of that team last night. It's Travers in goal, O'Shea, Malumbi, Cullen, Condi, like you add into that Adam Eder, you add into Jason Knight playing at Derby, there's a lot of good young players on the. You need to come through on their club form, but they're nearly there. And the last thing we need to do is put too much pressure on this international team and sort of let them develop.
That, I guess, chameleon-like ability to go from system to system sounds pretty important then. That idea that you shouldn't be married to one system, that it seemed that they had their work done last night. They knew exactly what system they wanted to play, and it might have been new, but it seemed that they were pretty familiar with it, that maybe we all overrate how long it actually takes for international players to actually get up to speed in a system. It seems actually Stephen Kenny was able to execute his ideas and his players were able to execute his ideas quite well in a short period of time.
Yeah, I suppose for an hour last night, that was as good as a away performance we've seen in a long, long time. Maybe back as far as, I don't know, maybe France or whatever. But it was a really good away performance. I've heard the point that it wasn't an away performance in the sense of there was no crowd there, et cetera, et cetera. And I get that, to be fair. It was neutralised in that sense. But yeah, the system, being able to change the system. Like, remember, we may have, and we've seen it with Callum Robbins, for argument's sake, we've got players who aren't guaranteed to be coming in sharpest at the sharpest. We've got players coming in who aren't regularly playing for the club. So we've got to adapt to different players at our exposure. We may have someone who springs through. I mean, the idea of playing one up front, it's why I have, in one sense, a problem with the way we're developing young players in Ireland is if Ireland under 16 had two outstanding centre-forwards, who one played for Man City and one played for Manchester United and were the best 16-year-olds in the world, the underage setup probably wouldn't play with two up front. He'd only play with one, and he'd play a 4-3-3 system. So we need to be careful about systems, and you get your best players on the pitch that are available to you and you make the most out of them. And I think that's ultimately what Stephen, as a manager, did last night. And he deserves huge credit for last night's performance, but there is areas where he'd be disappointed, and I think there's a couple of areas where I think Ireland could have done better.
Like, you mentioned there a couple of times, Vinny, just in terms of the development of young players. So you say there that there's formations maybe that are being used at international level at underage that perhaps aren't allowing players in attacking positions and creative positions to actually thrive. Is that the case that you've seen on a first-hand level?
Yeah, and I'd be like, I don't want to be critical of certain underage managers or anything. I think, like, Ruud Dochter, for argument's sake, is someone who's quite divisive in Irish football. I would have challenges with certain things Ruud would do, but we've gone down a path, and it's starting to produce players. The underage setup is starting to work. But for example, there's no point in playing if underage we have Troy Parrott and we play him on the right wing when his best position is centre forward. Yeah, we have to make the odd adaption against the team we're playing. But I think there needs to be flexibility. If you've got, as I said, two of the best centre-forwards in the country, play them, because we need forwards to come through. Don't be married to one shape. And I think we need to allow that underage manager to say, I'm going to play 4-4-2 because I've got brilliant centre-forwards, for argument's sake. And they will tell you they can do that, but when you watch all the underage games, it's generally 4-3-3 and you play out from the back, et cetera, et cetera. And it's the one way. So I think it's a bigger discussion, but Irish football need to develop young players. The English clubs aren't going to do for us anymore to a point. Ironically, Brexit might help us because the amount of Spanish and Italian and French and African players turning up in England may not be underage, may not be as big. So we need to take a longer view of Irish football. I think last night and what's gone on in the last week is a real eye-opener for people to go, actually, let's take a long-term view of it. I brought it up on the preview during the week to say, it is time we took a long-term view of Irish football. There isn't a quick fix. The top-class players aren't coming through anymore as regularly as they were. And therefore, people need to look at this as a long-term, like a development, as they call it, a development of a team. We don't have loads of money. I spoke to the Dutch FA about this, and they said that when they had challenges with mixing players from different races, et cetera, et cetera, what did they do? One of the solutions was they built a new training ground and a hotel in the training ground, shared landings, shared eating areas, all of that stuff. We don't have the money to just go and spend 40, 50 million new training grounds. We've got to do things cleverly and trust the right people. And we need to stop looking at England, because England under 21s would beat Ireland's first team and he'd probably qualify for a major tournament. Stop looking at England and take a long-term view of it. And I think that includes the manager as well. I really do. And I understand he's got to win games. No one will know better than him. But I think that includes the manager at the top of that tree and take a long-term view of it. I'm not saying we're right off the World Cup, but it looks highly unlikely we'll get there with the current bunch of players we have. And we may have a good European Championships following that, and maybe be at a World Cup in 4 years' time. That's because we end up looking at teams like Iceland going, how did Iceland get there? How did they get to the, and we do a big investigation into how can Croatia develop players and only 4 million people there? And we just keep looking at short term, change the manager, spend another 2 million on some fancy manager all the time, and we don't take long term decisions. And I think, to be fair to the FEI and Ruud Doctor, that's what they've done underage. And now we've got to do that a little bit in the senior team.
So Doctor essentially divorced himself from that idea that underage teams need to play 4-3-3 all the time. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think they need to be adaptable. They will say they are. I don't see it realistically, but that's a small point. But the point I'm making, get players through. Ultimately, relying on English clubs as it currently stands to get players into. And the only one that's sort of went away from that a little bit would be Josh Cullen. Jack Bourne has made a brave decision, could have went to the League One Championship in England. We need to get away from relying on English club developing our players. And we need forward thinking people. We need to make harsh decisions. As I said, I back Ruud Doctor and what he's done because he's upset a lot of people, but he's created elitism around underage football. And that's what we've got to do to make things better.
Look, that is a much broader conversation, Vinny, but it's really interesting because it kind of it reminds us that the stuff that we saw on the pitch last night is actually part of a massive architecture. And sometimes we get divorced from that, and the debate comes down to, should we play three at the back or four at the back? And ultimately, the real conversations need to be had about what the future of football is and our investment and the coaching pathways and the participation numbers and all that kind of stuff. You did mention, though, that just to go back to last night's game, because I don't want to lose too much focus on it, that sure, there were a few things that Stephen would have been pissed off with. Is one of them the little pockets of space that Dusan Tadic got? Is there something that, you know, next time out, we need to learn a little bit more about closing down that space and just getting back when something Gary Breen mentions, like, you know, there's just not a laziness, but like a championship level getting back into space as opposed to an international level closing down that space?
Yeah, I think it starts up front. I think I'm not sure it was the right decision to play Connolly and Robinson. Both of them, fitness levels weren't, or sharpness weren't exactly where I needed to be. As much as both of them done okay, I thought Robinson was better than Connolly, but I just think one of them, I think the two of them was too much of a risk. We needed somebody with a little bit fitter and sharper and being able to pick out those passes. When areas of improvement, you look at Darragh O'Shea's performance, it was brilliant at times and he got done for the goal. I felt he could have made a better angle of cover. So we'll work with Darragh on that stuff. There was times where Malumbi and Cullen were just not set in that right position, but that comes in time. And you look at Darragh O'Shea starting out his career, and this is why it's a bigger argument, is that I seen it. I was at all of the games. I was even, you know, I've seen so many of these games. Richard Dunne wasn't the best, most complete footballer in his first 20 internationals. He that came over time. Didn't even get into the team at the start. Now we had huge talented like Stan and Gary and Kenny Cunningham. It took his time. But Dara's gone in. And I thought he was very good last night, but he made a couple of errors at the highest level. But that's what happens. And the problem is we don't have five top-class centre-halves anymore. And we're going to have to spend a little bit of time, and Stephen has that, on Darragh O'Shea and expect the odd error like last night. I mean, if he defends it, that first chance a little bit better, we're probably going to have to win 1-0 up and it changes the game. So that's the finer detail that he will have to work on with the team. But in terms of, like, we may have more of the ball against Luxembourg. Does he change the shape back to a 4-3-3 and go all out attack? Does he play Josh Cullen up front and have real pace at either side of him? We don't know. He'll make that decision on the next day or two. So real there's a real foundation there after last night, I feel, and the Slovakia game, the two games that matter, there's a real foundation. And I think he has proved, whether it's been the two defensive midfielders, whether it's been the three at the back, I think he's proved that he's able to learn and adapt to different situations. And he'll take a lot from last night and a lot of areas of improvement. And he'll have to work on them.
Is there a new personnel you want to see in the starting team on Saturday?
I'd like to see Cullen up front. Definitely. I think we don't know how people have come out, but there was this, as I said, yeah, Alan Brown covered a huge distance. Can he go again in that number 10 position? I'd like to see a stick gone. Does he leave Matt Doherty out and play as just one right full with Callum Robinson as one of the forward men after getting that hour or 80 odd minutes under his belt? Does he play a 4-3-3?
Sorry, do you mean Collins, do you, up front rather than Collins?
Sorry, Collins. Yeah, Collins up front. And does he freshen up with a Robbie Brady? People like that feel like they've something to prove. Or does he... So for me, it's Collins up front, definitely. And it's whatever he plays off that is fine. But I think he has to start Collins up front. And a real focal point in a centre forward. I don't think... Conley went off after 65 minutes with cramp, effectively. I mean... That's not good at this level. I understand why he's been injured, and I'm not being harsh on him, but how can he go again in 4 or 5 days at that level? So you'd imagine we have to make that change up front. That's the key one for me. And then, you know, do we change the shape back to a 4-3-3 and think Luxembourg are a decent side, they're on the improve, but it's a game we should win. So how do you score goals? You get your fullbacks forward, you get crosses into box, et cetera, et cetera. You get runners into the box. And I think he may look at changing that. May not, but I think I would certainly think he'd be considering going back to a 4-3-3 for this weekend.
Vinny, last point for me is the kind of overall sense of promise and the desire to win games. There's a balancing act, obviously. He started by saying this, you know, like it or not, this game essentially at the weekend, it quickly becomes must win for the mood music. It's obviously not must win in terms of the future of Irish football, but actually, you know, the team needs to win to get confidence, and the confidence that will give the team will improve the players, and it will improve the bond that they have together. It's a sweet elixir in sport.
Yeah, listen, I think I don't know whether we're split as a country on this one in 50-50. I think it's more, maybe 70-30, I don't know, in terms of backing this sort of Kenny project or basically do their crew who don't think he's good enough, et cetera, et cetera. I think I'm not sure what the right answer is. I think he's got to ultimately win games, okay? But I think we've got to back this manager. I think we've got to back him as a long-term. People will say... Well, Vinny would say that he's talking about his mate. Well, no, that's not true. Like, because if anyone has a gripe with Stephen Kenny in Irish football, it's me, right? So, we've had a long time together. So, I'm not backing him for the sake of it. I think we've got to back him. We've got to put someone in long term. We've got to make a long term decision and run this club, run this national team like a club. And just shut out the noise. I think the Coleman piece you done yesterday there was just sensational, believe it or not. I think it answered so much and it shut people up. And Tosh Amos was brilliant on it. It was nonsense. I think the people, some of the journalists have been so out of touch of what's happening in Irish football. And they've been let down by whoever's leaking the information from internally in the FEI. And I think it's time we back the manager, take a long-term view of it, accept it might be difficult for the World Cup campaign. And I'm not suggesting we write it off and give him a free pass. There has to be improvement throughout this campaign. We have to see constant improvement up until the last game. And I think we'll get the rewards of it in the European Championship and the World Cup to follow. And I think it's time we just stop the noise. Stop the rubbish talk. If he makes a mistake, call him out on it. Absolutely. He's big and ugly enough to deserve that. But don't make stuff up. Don't make it up. Back the manager and just stop the nonsense. And I think Irish football is what's happening underage is paying off in our first team. What he done in the 21s for that 18 months is starting to pay off in the first team. Yes, he needs to win games starting this weekend. I accept that. But just back the man, for God's sake, and get on with it. We can't compete with Croatia. We can't compare. Just someone going to spring out of European Championships. And social media is going to be going, how can they do this and Ireland can't? How can Iceland do it 4 years ago, Ireland can't? Because they took a long-term view of it and a long-term plan. And we don't have the money to throw at it that Germany, Holland do to rebuild nations and international sides. So long-term view, back the manager, give him all the support he needs and stop the rubbish talk. It's the only way we fix Irish football as a whole.
Finny, always great to talk to you. Thanks a million for joining us this morning. Cheers.
Cheers, thanks, lads.
Finny Pert there. Always very thoughtful, particularly in the build-up of the Ireland games and the aftermath of them as well. Brilliant analysis there. OTBAM live in association with Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette, giving you the confidence to tackle the day ahead.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.